Your Steve Jones Show podcast is loading now. The Steve Jones Show podcast is sponsored by Sunbury Motors, North 4th Street in Sunbury, and Sunbury Motors Kia, routes 11 and 15 in Hummel's Wharf. Sports talk where your voice counts. This is the Steve Jones Show on News Radio 1070 WKOK. Now, from the Sunbury Motors Studio, here's Steve Jones.
Sunbury Motors, 4th Street in Sunbury. Sunbury Motors, Kia, routes 11 and 15, Hummel's Wharf. Great to have you with us today. Joined by the Prince of Peace, Kevin Herr.
Steve Areno.
Hola, Senor Peace.
How are you? This wonderful day.
Yeah. It is a wonderful day.
It is. It's a really nice day. I actually, yesterday was winter jacket, noon spring jacket, way home, yeah. No jacket.
Yeah.
Today is light jacket to no jacket.
Yeah. Oh, no, it most certainly is. Absolutely beautiful. I was 74 degrees when I was driving over here to do yonder show today. I've not checked the Kevin Herr memo. Hold on here.
No, it's there. It's in the in basket. Just look in the spam section. That's where you always put my emails.
Let's see.
You can't send text to spam. I still don't know how you don't see those. Oh, wait. Inbox. You just ignore those.
Inbox. Nothing. Let's see. Oh, let's go to junk mail. There we go.
There it is.
I found you. There you are. Let's see. We had a lot going on here. Let's see.
Oh, here. It was a busy one yesterday, this time around.
Okay. Randy Gauten first is on the show. Always great to hear from him. What a win by the Eagles last night. They looked terrific, especially defensively. I thought their front seven owned the game last night. Louisville
really?
Issue.
Wait. You thought they looked terrific?
I thought their front seven owned the game last night.
Okay.
They owned the game.
All right. I mean, I didn't think it was a terrific game, but I thought, you know, win's a win.
I thought the Eagles front seven looked terrific last night.
Okay.
They own the line of scrimmage. They own the game.
Okay.
Louisville issue. There's a Louisville issue? Really? Is Pitino passing the buck to Andre McGee? Shouldn't he know what's going on in the program that he is running? How much control should a head coach have? Right, yeah, we'll get to that.
There's a lot of good questions there. There, that just spawned one after another one, actually.
Yeah. Eagles got the W, but it wasn't pretty for either team. What do the Eagles and Giants need to do to fix if they want to play? Oh, they have to win the division. I mean, who cares?
That's a good basic rule. I like it.
Yeah, win the division, you have a playoff run. Barrett will start for Ohio State. Seems like a good idea. What does he do better or worse than Jones? He runs the read option beautifully. He runs the read option as well as any quarterback I've seen in person since Jamel Holloway at Oklahoma. And it brings out the best in their offense, and it's actually more the style of offense that normally Urban Meyer is one with, whether it was Josh Harris, a quarterback, or whether it was Tim Tebow, even Chris Leake. It's always been part of the MO of an Urban Meyer team to run it like that instead of a quarterback like Cardale Jones.
You know, one of the toughest things.
I said that in the preseason, so this is not Monday morning quarterbacking. All I'm doing is mimicking what I said in the preseason.
One of the toughest things about the read option is getting trust.
Who has the ball?
Well, there are two things that are really important in the read option. One, that the running back will trust the quarterback to let him know whether he's supposed to clamp down on the ball or not. And the quarterback having the ability to hide the football when he does have it or even when he's given it to the back. That's the thing that always impresses me when you see somebody run the read option, is that trust between the quarterback and the running back not to clamp down on that ball too early and create a fumble.
Sure, if you say so.
I've watched a lot of midline and read options. So.
Yeah, well, Well, you haven't seen anybody run it like this in person. I can guarantee you that.
I would doubt that I have.
It's very, very different watching. Like I said, it's the best I've seen since Jamel Holloway.
And how well does he use his hip to hide the ball, too, when he does have it? That's the other question.
I don't watch his hip. I'm just trying to follow the ball. All right. Sure. Okay. Let's see. Steelers proceeding with a different Jones this week. If Ben doesn't play, go hot hand, move Tom. Okay.
The different Jones was a play off the last sentence, you know. Doesn't sound as good when you read them with a gap in between, but.
It's a memo. I don't really, you know, you don't have to be that clever. Bullet points work.
Just trying to make it interesting reading, that's all.
So far you're all for.
Story of my career.
Why bother bringing up the Narduzzi thing? I mean, why? Okay, look, this is not that kind of show. All right? Look, okay, I didn't really hear what he had to say, and the bottom line is I always tell that my advice to every coach is the same. All right? Coach your own team. Okay? I don't know who he was saying about what he was saying about it, but I don't like the fact that it was even brought up. I mean, it's irrelevant.
Well, that's kind of the point I was making, though, Steve.
I don't care. I don't really. I think it lowers the profile of this show to even discuss it. In my opinion, this is not a team. This is. I know that you feel that seriously. I know that you feel that TMZ sells. I don't want to do that kind of show. I don't want to do the, you know, let's get down and, like, oh, look, somebody's slinging mud. So let's get down there. I don't want to do that. You know, I have no idea what he was referring to and so forth. You know, my bottom line is, look, everybody should just coach their own team and worry about what they have and what they don't have.
I know this is going to amaze you, but I actually agree with you here. I thought there was way too much read into that. And if they did intend to make the shot about Penn State, why? What benefit does it give you to do that? So I are actually in agreement on this one, believe it or not.
I don't know what he was referring to. I don't really care to know what he was referring to. I have no idea what's really going on with their program at all. The first time I'll really have any kind of thought process on what they're doing plus or minus with their program will be in the spring when they prepare when Penn State plays them. That's pretty much it. But I know it's a juicy topic for the desperate that want to draw eyeballs to papers and listeners to their program. I just don't like going down that road. I think intelligent talk is something I'd rather delve with than TMZ talk. That's just me. Now, the station may not feel the same way about it, but I'm going to try to do a lot of this my way. We will come back with more in a moment here on News Radio 1070 WKOK.
This year marks Sunbury Motor Company's 100th year in business, and we will be keeping the same tried and true values we've had ever since we opened our doors, guaranteeing your car buying experience will be smooth and hassle-free. No spinning a wheel for specials you don't need or want. No pushy sales staff pouncing on you as soon as you arrive. No sideshow yelling. Since we began back in 1915, we have strived to be your most trusted friend when it comes to all of your new car needs, whether that's in sales or service. We strive to offer you as many viable options as we possibly can. Sunbury Motor Company always carries a line of few other auto dealers in our area can compete with. With our inventory of Ford, Hyundai, Kia, and Lincoln vehicles, there should be no problems with finding the right vehicle to fit your needs. Our friendly and trustworthy staff is knowledgeable in all of our products and stand ready to answer all of your questions and meet all of your needs. In honor of 100 years in business, SMC is introducing the all-new Auto Club, where Sunbury Motors will pay you for every mile you drive. Be sure to ask us about our Auto Club benefits. Sunbury Motors in the North 4th Street Auto Plaza and at sunburymotors.com. Proudly owned by the Mertz family since 1915.
So if nobody minds, I really don't want to delve into it. I mean, I wasn't there. I don't know the context by which he meant it. And Penn State's got a game with Maryland this week.
Well, to quote one of our favorite movies, Steve, cross it off the list.
Yeah. Yes. Cross it off the list. The Louisville issue, though, is a huge issue. It is something that she, Katina Powell, is the one who wrote the book. And she was interviewed today, and she said, look, what do I have to lie about? Now, let's just start with that particular statement right there. What do I have to lie about? So the response would be, if you were interviewing her, would be, well, you're trying to sell, you know, you wrote a book, you're trying to sell a book. To which then she has to defend exactly what is in the book. She is getting tremendous help in convincing everyone of the truth of her book because of the Outside the Lines story. Outside the Lines has done an extensive look into all of this. And John Barr and Jeff Goodman did a lot of work on this story. And the story is very sordid, and she, to her credit, kept a lot of records for a period of time because, as she put it, he says, I don't think I could make this up. She told Outside the Lines in an extensive interview that Andre McGee supplied cash for side deals, which included sex with some recruits, guardians who accompanied them on visits, and some Louisville players. And names are named in here. I mean, she names names. Patino said, quote, he says, Andre McGee's the only one who has the answers. He was talking to Dana O'Neill. Whether it's true or not, I don't know. I spoke with my nephew who lived at Minority Hall, lived in the dorm, and he said he never saw anything the entire time he lived there. Obviously, by what people are saying, something did go on, but there's only one person who knows the truth. He's referring to Andre McGee. Everything else is absurd. I don't care about the legal issues. If he's done something wrong, he has to own up to it and do his penance. Louisville Athletic Director Tom Jurecht said that Patino, he said Coach Patino has no plans to step down. He absolutely didn't, and that he absolutely didn't know about the allegations. He said they have to leave it up to the authorities to take care of it now. Richard Patino at Minnesota said, I'm 100% sure with zero doubt that my dad knew nothing about any of the allegations or incidents. Here's what comes into play now. Outside the Lines reviewed Katina Powell's journals, her text messages, her phone records, and they have independently confirmed that the text messages sent to Powell to arrange the parties did come from Andre McGee's cell phone. Further, Outside the Lines has independently confirmed a wire transfer of $200 from McGee to Powell on one occasion. Powell said she put in a call to the NCAA. They hung up on her, essentially. Powell's attorneys are scheduled to meet with the University of Louisville's general counsel this afternoon. I couldn't make this up if I wanted to, Powell told Outside the Lines. They have no reason or have the need to lie to anyone. Everything I'm saying is 100% the truth. Well, again, you have no reason or need to lie to anyone. But, you know, again, I start out, what's the first question if you see that statement? The first question is, well, you did write a book, so you are trying to sell it. To then, she would then respond, and she is backed up all the way by these independent sources where it looks like what she is saying is, based on what the sources are saying, spot on. Powell said she asked McGee whether Patino knew about the parties. Does Patino know about this? And he said, he's Rick. He knows about everything. Now, that's a pretty general statement there. Powell said that she had no firsthand knowledge that Patino knew about the parties. But she also says she finds it hard to believe 4 years, a boatload of recruits, a boatload of dancers, loud music, alcohol, security, cameras, basketball players who came in the dorm at will. She was first introduced to McGee by a Louisville barber. It was that person, Powell said, who organized the first two shows at Minority Hall. I hired her for a few bachelor parties, and that's it, the man said when reached by Outside the Lines. When asked if he ever organized parties at Minority Hall, he said, no, sir, and hung up the phone. It was during the second show at the dorm that Powell said that McGee brought up the possibility of sex. He asked me if there are any girls that may want to make extra money, pretty much a side deal with the players. So I asked the girls, And their eyes lit up. Well, yeah, Powell said. Side deals were sex. And if they, the dancers, wanted to make extra money, that side deal was sex. Of the roughly two dozen dancers who Powell says she brought to Minority Hall from 2010 to 2014, she estimated that all but five or six had sex for money with former Louisville basketball players. And she names names. Lindsay Powell, 24, Katina's daughter, told Outside the Line she danced at multiple parties and was paid $100 to have sex with former Louisville point guard Russ Smith, who was the point guard in the 2013 national championship team. I believe that McGee came to my mom and said something about it to her. My mom came to me, and I was like, okay, and went in another room, and we had sex. During another party, Rodney Powell, 22, another daughter of Katina's, said that she was paid to have sex with former Louisville player Montrezl Harrell, who's now at the Houston Rockets. Harrell declined to comment when reached by Outside the Lines, but this month he did talk to the Houston Chronicle, and he said, quote, I don't know anything about it. I didn't too much stay at the dorm. I stayed off campus. I had a girlfriend off campus. It was pretty shocking that took place, if it did. I'm right there with Coach Pitino about being as shocked as he is. Two other women who said they danced at the dorm parties at Louisville also spoke with Outside the Lines, but on the condition of anonymity. One said she was paid roughly $300 for a night of stripping and one sexual encounter with a recruit. Another woman who asked to go by the name of Mandy said she went to a party at Minority Hall in 2010 or 11. Mandy estimated she was 17 at the time and had yet to graduate from high school. She said Powell explained the purpose of the party, basically to help people come to Louisville. Mandy said there were 7 to 9 girls at the party that night she danced. When she first arrived, she said, Powell led them into a room where there was just one man. After changing clothes, Mandy said Powell sent the women in pairs into what looked like a large room that was packed with 10 to 15 men, most of whom appeared to be basketball players, she said. It would be a lot of guys, and they all were on chairs. I was excited because Peyton Siva was there. Mandy said Siva, a 4-year point guard who played on the 13 national championship team, autographed her chest, a detail that Powell recalled when she was asked about that evening. Siva was also mentioned in Powell's book. He could not be reached for comment. Mandy estimated she made another $400 to $500 that night in tips as the men threw $100 bills at her feet, but she also says she did not have sex with anyone that night. We'll go ahead to Luke Hancock. Luke Hancock was the MOP on the 13 team, most outstanding player. He is never mentioned by Powell in the book and is never mentioned to have attended any parties. He says the entire situation is unfortunate regardless of what is proven or true or false. I can only say what I know. I have never seen this person before. For somebody who was around the team so much, how have I never seen her before? You can't be at every second of every person's life. You can only try and guide and influence people the right way when you're around. I wholeheartedly believe Coach Pitino embodies a leader who tries to make his players better on the court, but really grow as people off the court. It is very sordid, to say the least. Brandon Gowden, who happens to be a bastion of integrity, intelligence, and an Eagles lover, is going to join us in a moment to talk about last night's Eagles performance, where they have now won 3 of their last 4 games. They've taken over first place in the NFC East after soundly beating the New York Giants last night. We will talk to Brandon Gowden from BleedingGreenNation.com in a moment. First, the bottom of the hour. News is next. Then Brandon Gowden and then Kevin Herr, who grew up at the feet of Harvey Levin at TMZ. Is that really true?
I don't think so. I think Harvey made it up.
Huh. Well, you seem to have taken his class.
Taking your calls at 800-795-9565. This is the Steve Jones Show on News Radio 1070 WKOK. Now from the Sunbury Motor Studio, here's Steve Jones.
Great to have you with us. And the show being brought to you by our good friends at Sunbury Motors, 4th Street in Sunbury. Sunbury Motors, Kia, routes 11 and 15 in Hummel's Wharf. Kevin driving another great Sunbury Motors vehicle this week.
Yeah, this week we're driving around and featuring the 2015 Ford Focus. And the reason we're talking about that one is because that's the one you've been seeing all on TV with a under $200 lease payment for 36 months. So the sign and go event going on right now with Ford, it'll get you a 36-month lease with tax, tags, everything. It'll be $217 a month. That includes all the rebates that are available. And if you already have a lease, you're going to get a special rebate discount there, too. Find out how you can get a brand-new 2015 Ford Focus, the 2015 Ford Focus from Sunbury Motors, coming standard with backup camera and with the peaking mirror. That's what I call it. On the rearview mirror, on the side mirrors, you'll see a little mirror that actually goes into the blind spot. So you can peek into the blind spot and see if there's anybody there. That's also standard on the vehicle. You could be driving around for $217 a month out the door. That's from Sunbury Motors in the North 4th Street Auto Plaza in Sunbury.
How did you ever exist without your backup camera?
I love the backup camera. I absolutely love. In the vehicles that I have that I own myself and drive, look for the backup camera. It's not there. I forget how to back up and I don't feel as safe.
Does Sunbury Motors know that you now drive to work backwards because of the camera?
But the screens are so large that I don't have any problem seeing.
With that, we bring in Brandon Gowton, BleedingGreenNation.com. Hi, Brandon. Welcome back to the show. Great to have you with us.
Hey, thanks for having me, guys.
Well, let's talk about the Eagles' front seven. How good were they against the Giants?
Oh, they're very good. And, you know, that's been the whole strength of this defense this year. And in past years, I mean, they're so good up front. The defensive line, it really starts up there with guys like Fletcher Cox and really, Benny Logan having an underrated year there as the nose tackle. He's really good at stopping the run, as well as Fletcher Cox. And then you have guys like, you know, Cedric Thornton, who starts and is kind of an unheralded run stuffer. But you have a guy like Vinnie Curry, who comes in off the bench, and he's able to give you 1.5 sacks and get pressure on Eli Manning. So as good as the Eagles' front seven is, it really starts up front there with the defensive line.
Certain guys have the ability to find the football. Are we just defining D'Amico Ryans?
Yeah, I mean, D'Amico Ryans, it's really incredible with him how he came off his second career Achilles injury, and I think a lot of people were writing him off, and probably, you know, they were right to be skeptical because this is a guy who was coming off of those two injuries and a guy who kind of, you know, didn't look exactly great last year before he got hurt. Kind of a guy who you don't want on the field as much as you would think as young playmakers like Kiko Alonso, Michael Hendricks, who are currently hurt. But because those guys are injured, Ryans has been forced into a bigger role, and he's really excelled. And you know, the Eagles really like him as the leader of their defense. A lot of people were kind of confused when they gave Ryans that contract extension, given the injury and everything. But he's been a huge, huge part of this team, not only as a leader, but on the field. His interception on Eli Manning last night was huge because the Giants could have easily gone up 14-0, but instead he turned it around. The Eagles were able to get the ball back and tie it up 7-7.
How large a role did penalties play in Monday night's game?
I think penalties helped a lot at certain key times. I mean, you look at the first, or I think it was the second Eagles drive where, you know, Sam Bradford, he throws a pass that's out of Jordan Matthews' reach, and the Eagles are probably going to have to punt, but DeMontre Moore, for some unexplained, just unfathomable reason, picks up Sam Bradford and body slams him for just no reason at all. And, you know, that extends an Eagles scoring drive. There was a couple other ones where the Giants forced another punt, but they got called for running into the kicker, and that gave the Eagles another first down. So the Eagles especially really benefited from some of these penalties.
It was the first 100-yard rushing game for DeMarco Murray as an Eagle. Brandon, what about the work of the offensive line and also the feel maybe he has in the running game now compared to a month ago?
Yeah, I think you're seeing Murray look a lot more comfortable. He just looked fast. I think that's been an issue with him so far this season. In past games, he's just kind of looked plodding and slow. He hasn't really looked that explosive. And you kind of been wondering if that hamstring injury has been affecting him. I think we talked about that a little bit last week. But for as much of success as he's had, I mean, you do have to give credit to the offensive line. They're blocking way better, way, way better than they were earlier in the season. You almost wonder if Matt Tobin coming in at right guard there in place of Andrew Gardner, who I thought was playing relatively well, is kind of helping the Eagles' offensive line a little bit. I just think, as a whole, though, that whole unit is definitely playing better. They're not making the kind of miscommunications and execution errors they were earlier on this year. They're playing really good football right now.
Brandy Gobin, BleedingGreenNation.com, joining us. Brandon, do you walk out of the link after last night's, after a Monday night's game with the Giants and look at Sam Bradford and feel better about him, or do you still have big questions about Sam Bradford?
Oh, there are plenty of questions still about Sam Bradford. I mean, he just, the way he's been performing to this point is, it's just not satisfactory. It's just not good. He's been really bad against the Giants. There were just too many throws where he just wasn't accurate, and he wasn't even being pressured, so it wasn't like he had people in his face and he was trying to deal pressure. There were just throws where he had the time, the guy is open, and he's just not hitting him. The accuracy isn't there, and really it's baffling, because you would think, you know, this isn't a hard throw to make, but over and over he's just not making easy throws, and it's really concerning about the ceiling of this team. I mean, you look at the defense, and yeah, they can win games, but, you know, how much are they really going to contend if the quarterback can't even make simple throws?
All right, so let's get to that, the checklist. On your checklist at the six-game mark, what do you feel good about? What do you have concerns about?
I think the defense at this point is almost set it and forget it. You expect them to come in each week and play really well. I mean, we talked about the front seven, but the secondary is pretty solid as well. Nolan Carroll, I think, has probably been the Eagles' best corner, even though the Eagles gave all that money to Byron Maxwell. But I think Maxwell has kind of settled in after struggling early on this season. I don't think he's as much of a liability as he has been. And obviously the safeties are really good with Malcolm Jenkins and Walter Thurman. So the whole defense as a whole, you kind of just expect them to really keep the Eagles in these games and give them a chance to win. But at this point, the offense was a huge concern as a whole earlier on the season. Like, the blocking wasn't good, the run game wasn't good, wide receivers dropping passes, things like that. But at this point, we've seen the offensive line turn around. We've seen the run game start to come alive. I think at this point it's really getting narrowed down to Bradford struggling as just the key issue with this team, especially in offense.
Now it's the Carolina Panthers on the road Sunday night football. Will this be a barometer game to let us know where the Philadelphia Eagles really are?
I think so, because, you know, this is a good Panthers team. I don't think they're quite on the level of a Patriots team or a Packers team. I think, you know, the Panthers have beaten some of these softer teams here and the Jaguars and the Texans and the Buccaneers, and they beat the Saints without Drew Brees playing, and they beat the Seahawks on the road, which is an impressive win, but the Seahawks just don't even look that good this year, and the Seahawks are that controversial batted ball away in the end zone from being 1-5, so certainly not a good team there. But, you know, they give the Panthers credit for winning those games and being 5-0. I think the Eagles really need, you know, I've been saying all year, but I think they really need Bradford to step up in this one. I think the defense will give them a chance to win, but this is a game against a tough defense that Bradford is probably going to have to deliver.
Which then brings in Cam Newton. What kind of challenges will Cam Newton bring to the table that fine Philadelphia defense has not seen this year?
Yeah, and Chip Kelly talked about that a little bit today, just the fact that, you know, the Eagles haven't really played much of a mobile quarterback yet. You know, obviously, more pocket passes with guys like Manning and Matt Ryan and Tony Romo and Drew Brees, guys like that. Newton is obviously a threat to run as well. And as you saw in the Seattle game, he's still very much capable as a passer. Came up with some big passes down the stretch to help the Panthers win late there. It's going to be a tough challenge. The Eagles did really a really good job of handling Newton last year when these two teams played in Philadelphia and Mark Sanchez was starting. But you know, I think it's going to be a tough challenge. I think it's going to be interesting to see how the Eagles handle a mobile quarterback like that.
What does it mean to the Panthers getting Luke Kuechly back and his influence in this game Sunday night?
Yeah, he's a very good player. He's you look at how well the Eagles inside linebackers have been playing Jordan Hicks and D'Amico Ryans, and they've gotten really good plays out of those guys. But you know, Luke Kuechly is on another level. He's a proven veteran guy who. He's a playmaker on the inside. He's going to be a tough matchup for this Eagles run game. You know, you look at what the Eagles weren't able to do against the Cowboys earlier this season when they had to go against Sean Lee, and Sean Lee really shut down their running game. So the Eagles have been kind of getting back on track with the run in recent weeks, but I think Kuechly is going to be a big, big test and a big challenge up the middle there, and he could, you know, snuff out the run game, which could cause problems for Sam Bradford in the passing game.
Brandon, big picture now across the league. What has surprised you so far? What hasn't surprised you? It sounds to me like you're surprised by Seattle. So what surprised you? What hasn't?
You know, it's funny. Every year, you know, you go in, you expect things to be a certain way, and they just aren't. And that's the NFL. You know, you expect Seattle to be good, and all of a sudden they're, like I said, they're one play away from being 1-5. You know, you look at these undefeated teams, and now, I guess you expect the Packers and the Patriots to be good and undefeated. But, you know, the Bengals, I think it's kind of a little bit surprising to me that they've been so good. You look at a team like the Chiefs, Andy Reid's Chiefs, who they won in Week 1 and probably looked like one of the best teams in the NFL in Week 1. And all of a sudden now they're 1-5 after losing 5 straight games. So it's really a crazy league. And bringing it back to the Eagles, it's amazing to think that they were 0-2, and the offense was looking just like it didn't even belong in the NFL. And all of a sudden now, they're 3-3 and first in the division. It's really, really weird how things can change so fast in the NFL.
What's missing with Sam Bradford?
I really think it's just, it's bizarre. I want to say it's the accuracy. Then why isn't the accuracy? You know, where does that stem from? I don't know if it's a mechanical thing. I don't know if it's the fact that...
Yeah, because the throws are all short.
Yeah. It is really bizarre. And like you said, he's not being pressured. There isn't really a good excuse there. I'm wondering if, you know, maybe because he's been hurt and he hasn't really had the time to physically train. Because when you look at Sam Bradford, he's just not a very physically impressive guy in terms of, you know, he just doesn't look very strong. I'm wondering, you know, if the fact that he's had such a long layoff in recent seasons, maybe he hasn't been able to really work out and work on his strength fully. That's really one of the only things I can think of.
How many deep balls has he thrown this year? And when he has thrown it, did it have a good look to it?
You know, you look at some of the games earlier in the year, and that was the big criticism, that he wasn't even throwing deep. Now he's throwing deep, and he looked good in, I think, Week 4 was against Washington. He connected with Miles Wilson. He connected with Nelson Aguilar. He connected with Riley Cooper. And those were good passes, but just really inconsistent there. I mean, you look at a deep pass he had to Riley Cooper against the Giants last night, and that ball should have been an easy touchdown, wide open, but he kind of threw it behind him, and Bradford even admitted it after the game, and Cooper had to track it down and kind of slow down for it. And it's plays like that that are just really baffling because they feel like they should just be easy throws to make, and they're just not happening.
Brandon, absolute pleasure. Thanks so much for the insight. We appreciate it.
Hey, thanks for having me.
Brandon Gotten, BleedingGreenNation.com. We'll come back with Kevin Herr's complete in-depth analysis of the interview, as only he can, in a moment on News Radio 1070.
Radio PA's Ask the Governor program brings you extended Q&As with Governor Tom Wolf, and you have a chance to be part of the show every month. Have a question or comment about taxes, government spending, or any other topic that impacts your life? Well, send your questions and comments to Governor Wolf anytime by visiting pamatters.com and clicking the Ask the Governor link at the top of the page. We'll present your questions to Governor Wolf during every show. John in Mount Lebanon wrote in,
When are the politicians going to Hanover Township for our next question? And Phil writes in, will people buying food with access
Wilkes-Barre is our next stop. Anthony.
The award-winning Ask the Governor program from Radio Pennsylvania, now featuring Governor Tom Wolf. Visit PAMatters.com to have your voice heard and to view video clips from all our Ask the Governor tapings. Ask the Governor is a production of Radio PA, Top Flight Media, and PAMatters.com.
This is Governor Tom Wolf. I'm ready to answer your questions, so stop by PAMatters.com today.
Steve Jones, welcome back. Great to have you with us. As I concentrate on the show, Kevin concentrates on the pool that he's picking for the weekend.
Hey, it's sports. You look at these games. I mean, there's some really not entertaining games coming up this weekend.
Yeah, Philadelphia, Carolina. Your Steelers are playing Landry Jones,
I didn't say they were all awful.
Greatest backup quarterback since Gary Quazzo.
I still can't believe I watched him lead the Steelers to a win.
He knows the system. Give him credit.
He did, and he played. And listen, he played well. And let's face it, I have not been a Landry Jones fan since day one.
Nobody could tell.
I did not hide it. I have not been a Landry Jones fan. I didn't think he progressed. I saw him in the preseason, and I thought, you know what? It's time to move on. And then I watched him actually throw some really good passes, make some really good decisions, make some checks at the line of scrimmage.
And now he's your savior.
I'm not ready. It's one game, okay? Did he play well? Absolutely. Was it a great opportunity to play well and win the hearts and minds? Yes. Am I sold? No. I think there's a good chance that this guy could, that he could still fall apart.
This could be Tom Brady, Drew Bledsoe, and you don't know it.
You know what? If that happens, no one will be happier to be wrong than me. I don't think it's going to happen, but no one will be happier to be wrong than me. I mean,
here. Who did they play this week?
Pittsburgh?
Who did they play this week?
Kansas City.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's Andy Reid. I'm feeling pretty good against Andy Reid's Kansas City.
They should be pretty good in that game.
All I have to say is if this game comes down to Kansas City driving with less than 2 minutes in either the first half and second half, I know Andy Reid can't manage the clock, so Pittsburgh wins.
When do you play Cincinnati?
I think that's week 8.
No, you'll have Ben back by then.
Yeah. I told you 4 weeks. This is week number This is the fifth week right now. If he comes back this week, my prediction is correct.
So Landry Jones will be starting this week. So how do you feel about that?
Yeah, Ben's taking snaps in practice. Boy, here's a game that at the beginning of the year you'd think sounded good. Oh, here we go. Okay. Trying to change the subject. Okay. It's not working.
So he took snaps in practice. Okay. All right. Do you know how many times I've seen guys take snaps in practice, never see the light of day?
I know that.
Yeah, okay. So make sure.
Here's a game that you would think at the beginning of the year would be very entertaining, and it just is panning out to be not that entertaining, as Dallas at New York.
Yet the winner of the game is still in the thick of what's going on in the NFC East.
I know. Isn't that crazy?
No, you have division winners. Look, all you have to do is get in. I've told you this how many times. All you have to do in the NFL is get into the tournament. Right? After that, it's crapshoot.
So who's quarterbacking for Dallas?
Matt Castle.
See, that's a tough game to pick, I think.
Yeah, sure. I'm sure at some point I'll tune in.
I doubt it.
No, I'll tune in. So what do you think? I don't watch games? Just because I don't respond to you when you're
just
texting
me.
Just
because I don't answer any questions you have during games. Baltimore at Arizona is the Monday night fun next week.
I have to work on Sundays. So that's the problem.
Well, it's not like the TV's not on the background.
No, I'm doing TV interviews.
Oh, okay. You mean work at outside.
Like work
outside
work.
Outside the home office.
Like I have to go in, a lot of the TV interviews, for anybody who watches the show Unrivaled, and you'll see the players in the, day after talking about what they did the day before and so forth, that I'm actually the interviewer. So, yeah, I work Sundays.
Listen, I'm not proud of this, but I must admit to you, and I have not told you this, I was extremely jealous of you and Paul Keels on Saturday night. In the open of the broadcast, you were both on the broadcast of the network, on the network broadcast. I have to admit, I was a little green with envy on both on that.
First I heard it. I didn't know that.
And you both sounded outstanding.
Oh, well, what play did I have? Was it a 2-yard gain or?
I don't remember. I just remember saying, oh, man. Why doesn't that stuff ever happen to me?